I would like to welcome all of you that's sitting in your living room or wherever you may be today. You've enjoyed this wonderful ministry and song. I appreciate the labor of love they've went through here today at First Baptist Church Brandenburg. We're here today to stay in connected with you the best way we know how. I do know one thing on Sunday when we come together and worship together, there's something about that fellowship that touches our lives. And because of that, we don't have that privilege today, or maybe the days ahead here. We hope that this will end very soon. But until then, we want to be able to touch you the best way we know how. We will actually do whatever we can for you. We're thinking hard. There's a staff here at First Baptist Brandenburg that is going the extra mile. They've been working on a lot of stuff. Kathy and I have been away on our 50th wedding anniversary, and I keep hearing about all the neat things that they're thinking about and doing. And Brandon, the chairman of our deacons here, he's been a great part of this as the whole staff have come together. So we'd like to just sit down and ask some questions and answer to you in dialogue. So you will help know what's going on at your church body and your church family, how we can be connected with you and how we can make a difference in your life. We miss seeing you here today a whole bunch. And I know you miss being here a whole bunch. But we're together in Christ, and we pray for the Lord to bless us. Brandon, I appreciate, as I've been away, we've been in contact of all the things that's happened. Roxanne has kept me up, and the team and the staff, and we have two new staff people on, our children, our youth, and there's Sarah is working hard in the children's ministry, and Trish is working hard in the youth, and so we just want to do a great ministry. Now, what does the schedule look like at Franklin Crossroads, the best you've been working on it?
We'll forgive you. You've been gone for a week.
So. At First Baptist Church, Brandenburg. You know, one thing about being live, we're down forever recorded, okay? So let me welcome you. So what's been happening at First Baptist Church, Brandenburg?
So you'd asked what our schedule looks like right now. So right now our in-person gatherings, of course, have been suspended until further notice until we can meet back together once the CDC and the governor and those that we're listening to closely give us the go-ahead to come back. We'll suspend services. However, our church office is closed to the public, too, but we do have Roxanne will be here, and Becky will be here during the week. Ron might be here some. So please feel free to call to connect to the church or email them if you need to. We'll continue to live stream on Sundays at 11 o'clock, and we're also going to continue our 6:04 live stream. So I'm looking forward to that, and Ron will be on tonight at 6:04, so looking forward to it.
What have we done to stay connected under this oxymoron, social distancing? I like the social part, but how are we connected? What's the best way we're going to do that?
Yes, our greatest concern is we want to stay connected with you all out there, our church members and just those out in the community. And so some things we've done is we've started for our members a thing called ChurchCast, which gives us the ability to mass text people, gives us the ability to mass email people, as well as to do pre-recorded messages that we can send out to people's home phones, because we know a lot of people in our community as well as in our church members don't have cell phones. So we're doing everything we can to find ways to do that. We've also got our Facebook groups for members. We've also got our Facebook group for the community. We keep our website updated as much as we can. We're trying to put an update on there once a week from myself and the leadership here at the church and staff. We've added Bible study resources on our webpage. All the lessons are out there for different Sunday school classes. So if you've got the chance, go on our website and look at those. Lifeway has been generous enough to give us the opportunity to post a lot of material. Normally we weren't able to, but they've helped churches out right now, and we thank them for that. We've also started a new ministry here at the church in the past week called His Hands. Right now we've got about 10 volunteers who are ready to help out and to deliver meals, groceries, prescriptions, help prepare meals, make phone calls, whatever it is we need to do to help our community. So if you're stuck inside and you can't get out or you're not comfortable going to the grocery store or to the pharmacy, please let us know. We've got people who are more than happy to help you with that.
That's pretty neat, Brandon. That's a lot of thinking. I know you've been thinking about this and preparing a lot of ways. And that's just a great way that First Baptist is trying to connect with you and to make it, hopefully, that you will feel still a part of what's happening. How we can continue to worship through giving. You know, giving is a big part of my life. The only thing that lasts is what I give away. And my giving to Christ and my tithes and my offerings is very important to me. And sometimes when I don't give, I feel like, man, I just need to get rid of that. I need to do something with it. And if some of you feel that way, and some of you don't. But we want to help all of you to be giving and supporting your church and church in the kingdom of God in this difficult time. I know finances is tough today. People are losing situations and jobs, and the government's trying to help and assist in that. But never lose your faith. The joy of giving will be abundant into you. So we want to help you to find ways. If you want to give an offering or you want to give your tithes, we want to make it as easy as possible. So, Brandon, how are we going to work that out?
So we've had online giving capabilities for a while. We're really hoping that this will give people an opportunity to learn how to do that. So online on our website, you can give through Vanco. There's a link in the top right corner on our main page that says online giving. You can click on it. We've also got the Give Plus app, so if you're an Android or iPhone user, you can go through your app store and download the Give Plus app, and it's pretty easy to follow. You can always do it the traditional way. You can mail your check in to the church, and our address is on the church website if you need that as well.
A lot of people are using tech to do a lot of things in life. Giving is a real easy way to help you. Sometimes we forget to give. Sometimes we get busy and we don't give. So let me just encourage you to think about the online giving. It's a great resource that we have here all the time that will be happening, that you can give your offering and your tithes, and it just makes it so much simpler. But so look into that. I know it'll be a blessing to you. How can people reach us?
So I kind of touched on this briefly earlier, but if you need to get in touch with us, our staff will be here during normal office hours to answer the phone, answer emails. We are checking voicemails after every hour, or not after every hour, but after hours. So if you leave us a message, we do have people that will continually check those throughout the evening and night if something comes up and you need anything. You can also send us private messages on Facebook. We're trying to keep a close eye on those. You can also email us at secretaryfbc@bbtel.com, and we'll keep a close eye on that as well.
I want to let you know that if you're in a crisis, something is really happening tremendous in your life and you need somebody to help you, you feel free to make a request for me to be there. I'm more than able to do that. I'm more willing to do that. I'm not afraid to do that. And so if we can help you to do that personally, and I know others would like to, but we just have to control this. But if you're in a crisis, you'd be thrilled to call Ron Davis. I'll come there and help you when I can. What about Easter? It's coming. Hey, he rose from the dead. How are we going to get him up this year?
Well, he's going to come up regardless of where we're at or what we're doing. So we're excited about it.
Good answer, Brandon. That's You've been reading your Bible.
We for sure are going to have some sort of Easter service. It probably won't be the traditional one, and we all know that right now. We won't be here in person, all of us, but we will be coming to you live some way, some form. The staff has got a lot of creative ideas we're working on. We're reaching out to our community for some other ideas as well. So keep an eye on that. I'm excited about what we're hoping to be able to do, and as we get closer and plans come together, we'll let you know what that exact plan is, but it's going
to
be good.
We're working on something exciting to help us bring us together the best we can on Easter, so pray about that. Let me remind you also, every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on 93.5,
yes,
we're on the radio, and so if you want to tune in the radio and you catch our service, I'll be preaching here at these casts at 11 o'clock. But also, that'll be on the 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. So if it's a good sermon, you may want to listen twice. If it's not, turn it off both times, all right? You have that privilege of doing that. So that's your freedom. So we want to keep you connected in that. We're praying for you individually. I just want you to know, make your prayer request known in your bulletin, in your contact, any way you want to do this, through Facebook or make a phone call, because we want to be praying for you. And if the crisis needs to be there, I will be there with you any way that I can. And so we're a church that's very close. We are separated because of situations, but we will never be held back when the need is there. And so that's the blessings of First Baptist. We want you to be part of that, for the Lord to bless us. Thank you, Brandon, for all you've been doing.
One more thing real quick is I know you've probably seen on Facebook our Easter egg hunt that we have every year. It will go on. It just will be delayed. We know we're not going to be able to do it on the original date. But we don't care if it's July 4th weekend, it's 1,000 degrees outside, we're going to have the Easter egg hunt. So Save your eggs, save your candy, put it in the fridge, freezer, whatever you've got to do, and be ready when we come back to be able to make our Easter egg hunt happen for these kids. Because I can't wait to see all them when they finally get out of their houses and be able to get out again to come over here and roam our grassy areas and come in the gym and hang out and hunt Easter eggs. It's going to be a good time.
Brandon, let me thank you for being the chairman of the deacons and being on point and keeping up with all this stuff. It's been a lot on you, but you've done a good job, and I bless that. I praise Roxanne. She said she's lost a lot of sleep working hard. Her mind hadn't stopped. She's a techie person, and she's teching any way she can, and I appreciate that. I'm not a techie person. I'm gonna look at you and talk to you the best way I can, but I want to be connected with you. But I appreciate all that's happening. There's a team of about 10 people here this morning behind the scenes that are working, and we want to thank them for being here, for their commitment too, for the Lord to bless. Absolutely. First Baptist Brandenburg. Okay, time for me to preach now, Brandon.
It's time for you to preach.
Okay. That's what I showed up for today. It's an honor for me to be here today and to share the Word of God with you and for the Lord to bless us in a special time. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to the book of James this morning. The title of today's sermon is When Troubles Will Not Go Away. You ever have those kind of troubles? Seems like they will never go away. I don't mind a problem, but I like to solve it. There are some situations in my life that I just never solve. Problems just seem to linger. Isn't it easy to question God's judgment and life's purpose when the storms just keep on coming? We wonder where God is. We wonder what we've done. We're always asking questions when the storms come. Storms have a way of challenging how we believe, how we handle our attitudes and our actions in the midst of the storm. Does your faith hold? The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. And in the storms of life, the best thing I can tell you about that, my faith in Jesus Christ is with me every time in every situation of my life. Our conduct and character needs our faith or the lack of it. When storms come, what's your character like? What's your attitude like? Is it easy to get down and to question things that we shouldn't question? It always comes our way. Let me encourage you to fully understand this in America. We declare in America one nation under God. No other country in the world declares that. One nation under God. I'm talking about the God who has risen from the dead. I'm talking about the God who knows my name. See, anywhere else in the world, they don't have that declare when their storm comes, when a virus comes, and the walls are failing in. They don't have "In God We Trust." Isn't it wonderful to be in America today and to know that under God, one nation under God? Isn't it exciting that we print on our dollar, "In God We Trust"? Think about that. We're one nation under God. In God we trust. In the middle of our storms, our God is never frightened. He is never scared. He is all-powerful in our lives. It's amazing how it works. And then here in America, we call ourselves Christians. We have a risen Christ. There's a lot of people talk about God, but the God we talk about is risen from the dead. It's Jehovah God. It's a God that is alive today. He's not a God who has done some things in the past. He's a right now God. So let me encourage you to think about it. We in America, we have a Savior to allow our storms. When God allows storms to come, they're always designed to make us better and never bitter. The storms in my life, I'll be preaching tonight. The biggest problem I have in my life is never my problem. The biggest problem I have is how I deal with my problem. And when I deal with my problem wrongly, my problem destroys my life. But God allows storms in my life to make me better and never bitter. There's not one thing in my life that God hasn't allowed to happen. And I've been angry with God a lot of times about that because I didn't think it was fair. But when I look back, God knew exactly what He was doing in my life. So storms are a part of our lives. 2 weeks ago from this pulpit, I preached in Paul on the shipwreck. The ship was sinking and he comes aboard. He says, "Guys, be in good cheer. Man, I just talked to God. God says we're going to make this. Let me share with you. I've been talking to God, and we're going to make this." We're going to make this. I mean, the water may be coming overboard. The wind may be blowing. It may be 14 days out we haven't eaten. But God says we're going to make it. So how in the world can you be in a storm in a ship that's going down? And Paul says, be of good cheer, because he'd been talking to God. So see, in all the storms of our life, we have to factor in the God factor. Today, in the book of James, I ask you to go there and read. And I want you to read along with me today in James. It's in chapter 1. And James makes a tremendous statement. He says in verse 2, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into these various trials. Count it joy. Now here's Paul in a ship saying, be of good cheer. Here's James says, in every trial of your life, count it joy. Now either God doesn't know what he's talking about, or we don't know what God's talking about. And I want us to understand the storms are part of our lives. And we want to find ways to get through those storms in our lives, because our character needs to be instilled in us. You know, learning to speak a foreign language is difficult. I don't do very good with English. But when you're learning to speak a foreign language, and you're learning, and you hear that in that language, your mind has to translate it. You have translated from Spanish to American, to English. See, your mind's always working until you actually become fluent in that language. When you become fluent in that language, your mind don't have to play that game. It's just fluent. Faith needs to be fluent. You don't have to practice faith. You got to know that God knows. And when your faith holds, there's a wonderful blessing in the storms of our lives. So James is going to write a book on tell us about storms. What is storms? What is all about? How do storms come? Let's talk about some storms into our life, about our troubles. In James chapter 1, he writes, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, greetings. James is writing to his disciples, to the followers of Christ. Jesus has died in Jerusalem. They watched him hang him on a cross. And now many have been converted into Christianity, into faith, into love. And all of a sudden, they find themselves looking at a place to worship God. And all the Jews, all the Orthodox Jews were challenging them, was abusing them, was hurting them. And all the Christians in Jerusalem had to scatter. They weren't social distancing. They were scattered. They were far away because of persecution. You know what? God loves the whole world, and whatever it takes to get us into the world, he'll allow that to happen. Amen? Stephen was stoned, suffering was happening, and all the followers of Christ have been scattered all over the world. Pretty good plan, right? What did it take? A storm. What did it take? A trial. See, God's working always to the good. Let me help you understand this. When... In John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, in the world ye shall have tribulations. I battle storms every day of my life. So do you. You see, in the world we'll always have tribulations. Let's understand where trials come from. Everything will not go our way. We'll always have conflict. There'll always be people who won't like you. There'll always be people trying to hurt you. There'll always be illnesses. There'll always be sicknesses. There'll be storms in our life. Every day of our life. James says, count it a joy when the trials of your life come in, because when you have faith, you don't have to think about it. You just got faith. And faith changes storms. Faith changes outlooks. We must expect trials in our life. Everything will not go. Some of our comes because we're human. Sickness brings storms. Whenever we use the word cancer, it's a tremendous storm. It's shattering. When you think it's a shattering, let it be your cancer. It's a storm. So storms come just because of being human. Accidents happen. Disappointments come. Others can become all different reasons. But there can be a storm because we're Christians. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12, think about it to not be strange. Not to be strange, encourage the fiery trials, which is there to try you daily. It's not to be strange. The devil is out to destroy my life. I'm in a battle with Satan every day of my life. You know what sin is? Sin is doing it God's way or my way or Satan's way. And so God says he allows trials to come in our lives. But as Christians, think it not to be strange because fiery trials come every day to us. Satan wants to stop us. He's out to do it any way he can. Troubles have a purpose. God doesn't waste any energy. Troubles have a purpose. And he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let me just take a few moments and look at that today. Troubles do have a purpose. It tries our faith. It brings patience to our life. God is trying to mature us. He's always trying to get us to be more like his son than like us. He's always knowing that his son was the perfect of God, Emmanuel in us. And he knows his son died on a cross and he rose from the dead. And he left his Holy Spirit to reign in our lives. God with us. God in us. He wants to produce that God through us. God is trying to mature us any way he can. How can we raise above the trials? I like what he says right here. My brethren, count it all. Let's take a look at that word for a moment as he talks about through the struggles of our life. Count, it means to evaluate. It means to look around you. It means to add it up. It means to keep score. You count. He says, how do I rise above it? You count. It means to evaluate. Take a look at your life. What does your life look like? Let me ask you something. Are you one of the people who just live for the moment? Or do you live for the end? Are you one of those people just whenever a storm comes or maybe a pain comes, do you just live for the moment? When you're 16 years of age, you always live for the moment. You always think if you get a new car, you got it forever. If you get a pretty girl, you got it forever. You always live for a moment when you're immature. But the storms come in your life. You see what God sees. Look, count, evaluate. Because when your character is right, your storms will be better in your life. They'll come to a point of our life, we count. So we count it, we evaluate it, we take a look, see what God is doing in our lives. Hebrews 12:2, and there's a difficult scripture here in Hebrews 12:2. Our Lord was able to endure the cross. Here's what he says. Because the joy that was set before him. He was willing to go to the cross because he knew the cross wasn't the end. He was willing to go to the cross. Because Resurrection Sunday is coming. And he knew it. He knew it. Don't you know it? See, that's it. So see, count, evaluate it. Don't live for the moment. Live for the end. In the end of this, it's going to be phenomenal. In the end of this storm that we're fighting, this virus that is so scary and it's so undetectable and so much we don't know about it, all you got to know is God knows about it. All you got to do is God can fix everything. And you know that God cares about everything. He loved me so much he died. Why would he just let a storm overtake me? He wants me to produce him in a storm. It's so good. The joy that was set before him, he was going to wake up and be like he'd never been before. If you have a pencil and paper, you need to write this down because when I learned this, it changed my life. If we value comfort more than character, trials will always upset us. If we value comfort more than character, trials will destroy us. Amen? See, our character is where it's at. Our character is, I'm not learning a new language here. I've been a Christian for most of my life. It needs to be character in my storm. Not doubts and worries and bitterness and blame game. It needs to be character. If we value material and physical more than spiritual, we'll never count it a joy. We're not here to just become puppets and say, okay, we got a problem, let's just make it joyful. It is joy. Whenever material and spiritual is more physical is more than spiritual in your life, you'll never count it a joy. I like Job. Let me tell you something. You think you're having a problem? Think about Job's problem. You know what Job said? I shall come forth as gold. Job didn't live for the moment. When all of his children died, I don't know what that would be like. When his illness came, that was so much pain, I don't know what that's like. But Job knows when this is over with, I come out as gold. Be of good cheer. Let the joy be real. You don't have to wait for the storm to end. Jesus was have the joy on the cross, knowing that it was going to end just right. We must know faith is always tested in our lives. In verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Maybe my biggest problem, patience. A child that doesn't learn patience will never learn much. A child that never learns patience will never learn much. Abraham read it. He ran ahead of God and married and had a relationship with Hagar. That's some of our problems around the world today because Abraham got ahead of God. Patience. Moses ran ahead of God and he murdered a man. He looked to his left and right and he murdered a man. Patience goes a long way. Peter almost killed a guard in the garden standing next to Jesus. Cut his ear off because he was running ahead of God. He says, knowing that the test of your faith produces patience. We must know God is trying to slow us down. Spiritually, we're pretty rich, we're pretty greedy, we have a lot of stuff, and we're surely successful in America. And God says, slow it down. When this virus came, and I begin to pray about this as a pastor, as a Christian, God just slowing us down. We're going to see more God than we've ever seen. We're going to talk to God more than we've ever talked. We're going to find God in this storm. It's not to be afraid of. It's to know that God is trying to make us better. Understand that. Patience. Patience must cooperate with God. In verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Man, when we are patient and we're cooperating with God, He matures us. Christians will find ourselves, let me tell you something. This social distance thing is something new to us, bumping elbows or staying 6 foot apart or whatever. But far too many Christians have been social distant from God. And when their storms come, they don't know what to think. So see, you can be social distance in this room and be safe. But be social distant from God, and your storms will own you. Your storms will keep you awake. You won't be of good cheer. You won't find the joy. You can't take the cross. You can't even take bad words. See, social distancing from God is creating a vacuum in this world. We've run ahead of God. We plan that we don't really need God. When I begin to pray about this, I said, God, if you don't come, we don't have a chance. And it was this time I was talking to God, and he says, Ron, I'm already there. You've got a real good chance. You've got a real good chance of making this real good. You're going to make it. It'll be okay. What happens if my children get this? Tanya's going through chemo. What happens if she gets this in this time? If I play the what-if game, I never play the game with God. I walk by faith, and faith moves mountains. Faith changes equations. Faith changes questions. Moving by faith changes the world. And that's what God is trying to get James to portray to his disciples who are scattered, who are lonely, who are afraid, who are being chased, who will be killed if they be caught. when they have their church services, when their hearts so bubble over with the love of God that they got to tell somebody. When the Jew says, you can't tell, we got to tell. We can't stop. Because my God has given me the faith to believe if I die, I die. On the cross, the joy was in the cross, not in the suffering. It was in the resurrection. Got to see it. You got to live for the future. You can't live for now. And the wheels just come off all so easy. God must work in us before He'll ever work through us. Let me give you a couple illustrations. God made Abraham and Sarah wait 25 years before their son was born. I'd like to go to bed and think about it for 25 years. I'd like to have a son. And God promised me a son that would actually be the stars of the sky. And the sun, I mean, He just promised him a great deal. He made him wait 25 years. Go ahead and wait 5 weeks. Go ahead and wait 5 months. Go ahead and wait a year. But God made Abraham wait 25 years. God worked 13 years in Joseph's life before He let him run Egypt. 13 years. Spent some time in prison. Accused. Sold by his brothers. He made him work 13 years. And now he's running Egypt. I like this one. I'm reminded of this. God spent 80 years getting Moses ready for his last 40. God spent 80 years and He let Moses do some stupid stuff. Killing a guy, despising everything. But He gave him 80 years just so He could have a good 40 in the end. I want to be in the end, amen? If I look at my watch, I'm getting pretty old. I'm down to the 2-minute warning. I want to be good. I've been through a lot. So have you. It's been a tough time in our lives. And what does this virus mean to us? What's it mean to our church and to our relationships? Why does troubles overwhelm me? I want to finish with that. Why do they overwhelm me? Well, in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him. He who lacks wisdom, we must ask. We must believe in. Wisdom is the ability to view life as God views life. See, when I have wisdom of God in my life, I never live for the moment. I never get too excited when everything just happens all at once. I just want to live for eternity. See, the Bible says, ask for wisdom. Wisdom of God lets us view our problems as God would view our problems. Now think about that. May this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. See, wisdom is when we ask for wisdom from God, we can see it like God sees it. We can understand it like God understands it. It makes us stronger. It makes our faith better. And the reason why our troubles overwhelm us, we won't ask with the wisdom of the point of God's view. Now, let me tell you about the worldly wisdom. We'll take you to chapter 3. I want to read verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom, under control. Meekness is power under control. Who is he? Who is wise, understands among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. You may have wisdom of the world and never know anything that God knows. But the wisdom of God. Listen to what he says. But this wisdom did not descend from above. It is earthly. It is sensual. And it is demonic. So when you have a problem, ask God for wisdom. Just ask Him for it. It changes everything. And by faith, He begins to work into our lives. And everything becomes different. Now I want to go back to chapter 1. I want to go through verse 6, 7, 8 as we conclude this. Ask in faith. But let them ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let him man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all things. When we ask in faith, this is not a saving faith. This is a mature faith. When I got saved, God came in my life, and my faith was so immature. My faith was so weak. But this is a saving faith that now I've matured. And let me not ask, but in God's strength, in faith. How many really believe that God can move a mountain? How many really believe that a grain of a mustard seed can change lives? How many really believe that God can do what no man can ever do? We must believe it in a storm. And if you forget it in a storm, what good is God in a storm if He doesn't show up? What good is he on a sunny day if he don't show up in a storm? That's my faith in a story. That's my faith in a virus that doesn't know much about it in our world, and God knows all about it in our world. He wants to make us better and not bitter. He wants to unite us and make us stronger. He wants us to slow down and realize he's got this. So if you're home in your living room today, things don't look good financially. Maybe your job is being challenged right now. It's never been challenged in your life, but maybe it is now. Maybe you have a sick child and you don't even want to take them to the doctor. You don't want to get out in public. If you're going through that pain, if you're missing your church, if you're missing the family of people that you come and you sit in your small groups, I want you to know that God is with you today. I want you to know that it makes all the difference in the world. In verse 12, he concludes it with this. Blessed is the man who endures temptations, for when he has been proven, he will receive the crown of life. I need to preach a sermon on that crown of life. Which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Happy is the man. Joy is real. It's literally happening. Job says he came forth as gold. Let me just sum it up. You count. You evaluate. You know. Let's understand it's a part of life. Let's cooperate with God. And lastly, let's ask God to bring our miracle. If we could know it, if we could count it, if we could just let Him, if we could just ask, things will be different in this storm. It's still a storm. There's still people suffering. But my God runs this ship. And I totally, 100% trust Him. Because I've been with him for so many storms, and the storm holds. My God makes it right. So I asked you this morning, as you're thinking about this storm and all the uncomfortable parts of your life, may your character still be strong. May your faith be real. And may life be changed. Because the God that is with you at your house and not at your church. Maybe in your automobile and not at your church. Maybe in a hospital room and not at your church. I want you to know that God knows your name. He knows where it is. When the storms don't go away, the best news I can tell you, God's way ahead of our storms. And he wants to make it better He wants us to slow down. He wants us to evaluate. He wants us to trust Him. And we'll learn. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation today. You know, in a big room, sometimes it's hard to make a decision for Christ because you're afraid what people may think or what they may say. But you're in the privacy of your house today. You're right where you live. Maybe you're here today and you say, God, I want you to really bless me. I want you to know that you've got this storm. I want you to know that I trust you totally. If you're there, wherever you may be, and you're listening to this sermon, I just ask you to raise your hand towards God right now. Just raise your hand and say, God, I trust you. I got questions, but I'm going to count it. I'm going to evaluate it. I'm going to see it to the end, not just for the day. I'm going to build my faith to change it. And God, just help me. Just raise your hand right there and put it back down. God is so involved in your life right now. Maybe you've never been a believer. Maybe you've never had faith to ask Christ into your heart and save you. So right now, I'd like for you to just pray a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me. Help me trust you, God. Come into my heart and save me. Not because of my storm, because of my sin that needs to be forgiven so I can deal with my storm so much better. Know that you know Jesus. Make it real. As we sing, you make all these decisions. You declare, when the storms don't quit, my God is bigger than the storm. Let's sing this song together, team.